We want to welcome you this morning to Barbies Grove Baptist Church as we celebrate Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. So glad that you're here. I know that there's a number of cars out in the parking lot, and we're so glad that you've chosen to come and worship with us in the parking lot. We know that there'll be people listening later on the webcast, and wherever you hear and however you hear, I hope that you're hearing from Jesus. You know, so many times Jesus said to those in the crowd, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying." To those seven churches in Revelation, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches." And so, you know, I pray that I have not just physical ears, but spiritual ears to hear what the Lord is saying. And we pray that for you. But it's great to come and worship the Lord together, even though we cannot be in the building together. May we pray. Father, it's so good to be in your presence. So good to know you, to love you, to serve you. I thank you for the faithful folks that come each week to listen to the website and those who come each week to gather in the parking lot. And Father, I thank you for those, Wes and Leonard, that come each week just to put this service together. But most of all, Father, I thank you that we have the promise that Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst. And so, Father, we know that Jesus is with us. So we just want to hear from him today. And we thank you that you speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I hope everyone's doing great this morning. Again, as Pastor Ed has already said, we welcome all of you this morning. And we want to advise you that we will continue on with services as we have been doing. In other words, there'll be no live open sanctuary services until advised. We will continue, of course, with the webcast and also with the 99.1 FM in the parking lot, and Pastor Ed has already alluded to. We welcome all of you who are here, and thank you for coming. Now, the webcast, again, will be available around 12:30 for all of you who choose that route. Another thing I want to remind you of, this is the time of the year we usually be having an inspiring speaker from the Pregnancy Resource Center. Their great work, however, does go on with the COVID virus, and they certainly need some help from us. And as they lead the fight against abortion and help the families who choose life, we still want to support their work. So you can give an offering by mailing your offering to the P.O. Box, Barbies Grove P.O. Box, or in the white bucket on the porch that you can put your offerings in each Sunday. And mark the envelope, if you would, please, Pregnancy Resource Center, and Brenda will be sure to get that money over to them. So let's think about and pray about helping these folks as well. Pastor Ed, in his newsletter this week, certainly I thought made a very good point about how we can continue to invite visitors no matter what, even though we don't have open sanctuary services, that we can say, come in and be with us. You can bring them to the parking lot with you. You can witness to them. You can call them. All the things that we can do, keep in mind, contact is important during these troubling times. Another thing that I want to bring before you, some of you have asked about how things are progressing with the sale of the parsonage. The parsonage is not listed yet and will not be listed until we have a couple housekeeping issues taken care of. So keep that in mind, if you would, please. And we'll be letting you know when the issues are resolved. But they are being taken care of. That's all the announcements I have for today. Our prayer list and prayer request for January the 24th. We still need to pray for our nation. Our nation is still trying to adjust not only to new government, but also to the new strands of the COVID virus and all the things that we have is challenging to us. Let's be in prayer for our nation, be in prayer for all of our leaders. As Pastor Ed pointed out in the newsletter, we need to pray for all of our leaders, whether it be in Washington, Raleigh, or Stanley County. Lift them up and pray. Let's continue to pray for Vivian Austin. She's doing much better, but she still needs prayer. Let's continue to pray for them. Let's pray for Tony Hatley family. Tony, that's was Larry Hatley's brother who passed away last week. Let's pray for Barbara Whitley as she continues to mourn the loss of Don and the family. Let's pray for their family. Ann Barbary is still not back 100%. Let's pray for her. Let's remember Marie Burris in the nursing home. Pray for her. And then I want to lift up the Pregnancy Resource Center and their work and prayer. That's all the prayer requests I have for this Sunday. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for another Lord's Day. Another Lord's Day you've given us, Lord, to be here and to worship. We pray for those that are outside in the parking lot and those who have prioritized their time to be here. We thank you, Lord, for those who will be listening on the web around 12:30. Lord, we thank you for all those who have a part. And Lord, we thank you for the blessings you give us each and every day. I am so careful, Lord, before I ask you for anything to say thank you. Lord, how blessed we truly are. And Lord, we thank you for the blessings. But now, Lord, we want to lift up to you those people who have asked for prayer this morning. And we want to be specific with their request. Certainly we want to be specific when we pray for our nation. Let's pray for our nation, Lord, as we lift it up to you. Lord, I know you're in control. And you have it all. And nothing surprises you, Lord. But Lord, we pray for our nation and for our leaders. And again, whether it be in Washington, Raleigh, or Stanley County, we pray for them. We pray for Miss Vivian, Lord. And as she's convalescing, we pray for to give her strength. And then those who've lost loved ones, the Tony Hatley family, we pray for them. We pray for Barbara and her family. We pray for them. And Ann Barbie, Lord, we lift her up to you today, Lord, as she is still not 100% in strength. We pray for her. And then, Lord, there's Miss Marie over in the Stanley Manor. We pray for her. I would pray for all those shut-ins and those in nursing homes, Lord. We pray for them. And then, Lord, we want to be mindful to lift up the Pregnancy Resource Center and the great work they do. We pray for them and that their financial needs and goals will be met as they go forward. And now, Lord, as we go forward in this service today, we thank you for Wes, is what he does each and every Sunday. And we ask, Lord, a special blessing upon Pastor Ed as Pastor Ed comes and delivers the message. And now, Lord, we will be very careful to say that these blessings and all that we ask is in your name we pray. Amen. We have our music today that we want to share with you. We have our choir. I've got a pre-recorded from the choir, and it's a pre-recorded about the family of God. So let's listen together. The choir sing "The Family of God." Thank you, choir. That was great. I enjoyed the singing. While we've got the choir warmed up, let's go ahead and do another song with the choir as our praise music. And this is another pre-recorded from the choir. It's More Love and More Power.
Thank you, choir. It's so good to listen to beautiful music, worshipful music, and we thank you. And I was thinking, all of you choir members, you be practicing your singing in the shower so that when we finally get back together, your voices will be in fine tune. Amen. And ready to go. This past week, I was texting with a dear pastor friend of mine in another state, and the subject of our text was something along this line: when the pandemic is over, how many people who were formerly faithful in their churches will go back? And how many of them will have gotten so accustomed to sitting around in their pajamas on Sunday morning that we will seldom, if ever, see them again? Interesting question. How committed are we to our churches and to our Lord? Keep that question in mind, those questions in mind as I share a couple of other illustrations. One of the channels that we get on our television is a show where people are wanting to relocate to somewhere in England or Scotland. And so the real estate agent usually shows them three different houses and tries to, and some of these houses are originally built as houses, some of them are built as mills or something else, but converted to housing space. And as he, well, sometimes it's a lady, sometimes it's a man, as the real estate agent leads them up to the door, they'll say something like, "Now this house was built in the 1800s, or the 1700s, or the 1600s. And then generally when they're showing them around the village, they'll go by some church and say, "Now this church was built in the 1400s or the 1500s. And I think, I can't imagine living in a house that was built before the United States came into existence. But you notice something about all of those houses? They were built out of brick or stone. They were built to last. Now contrast that with a report that you'll see on the TV about once or twice a year. Maybe Charlotte or some local town will get concerned about the homeless population. And so the TV station runs down to the homeless camp and shows you some pictures from that homeless camp. And you'll see pictures of people living in tents, like we would buy at Walmart or some other store. Some of them living in little huts made out of plywood with plastic or tar paper over them. Some of them with just a few pieces of metal laid together and then maybe plastic over it to keep it waterproof. And you know, those shacks won't last 5 years. Now what a contrast between houses and church buildings that were built to last and have been there for hundreds and hundreds of years, and those temporary shelters that won't last hardly a year. Now with those three mental pictures in mind, let's look at some truths in the Bible. Things that the Bible clearly teaches. Turn with me first to Genesis chapter 6. And the first truth that the Bible teaches is this: life is short. Life is short. Now in Genesis 6 verse 3, it says, "The Lord said," the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for he shall also his flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. So the Lord said, "I'm giving men 120 years. He said, "Now wait a minute, preacher, that's not what I always thought." Glad you asked. Turn with me to Psalm 90. Turn with me to Psalm 90. And verse 10. Well, let's go back to verse 9. "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. There we read 70 years, or if we're particularly healthy, maybe 80. Now, which is it? Which is it? 120 or 70 or 80? Well, if your Bible's like mine, right under the Psalm 90, it says, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. So now, when did Moses write this? You remember Moses delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt? And in a few months, they were at the border of the promised land. Spies went in, came back, and 10 of them gave an evil report, and 2 of them gave a good report, and the 10 that gave the evil report were believed and followed, and people says, we're not going in. There's giants there. There's walled cities. There's trained armies. We can't take it. And as a result, God said, you remember? Everybody over a certain age is going to die. In other words, everybody that was over, I believe it was 20, was going to die in the next 40 years. That's where you get your 70 or 80. Because there was a time limit for all of those people to die out so that the next generation could go in and take the promised land. But it doesn't matter. Even if it's 120, life is short. Life is short. And the older I get, I feel like in many ways that I've been out of high school about 4 years. Should be about finishing up college by now. Those of you that know me, it's been over 50. And I'm thinking, where did the time go? Where did the last 50 years go? How quickly? As Moses said there in that prayer, our strength and labor and sorrow, it is soon cut off and we fly away. Life is short. And then notice what Moses goes on to say in verse 12. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Moses said, listen, life is short. Take careful accounting of your days. Take careful accounting of your days. And I realize the older I get that the more the things that were really important to me 50 years ago just don't matter. Things that I would like to have accumulated 40 or 50 years ago, I don't even begin to want at this age. Wouldn't know what to do with them if I had them. How important it is that the days that we have are used wisely. He says, number your days. Count them. Think about them. And use them wisely. Every day we should think about, this is the day the Lord hath made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it, but also today is a day that God could come back. This is the day that the trumpet could blow. And I need to be ready. What does the Lord want me to be doing with this day? Who can I be a blessing to? Who can I can touch? Who needs my witness? Every day, we need to use wisely. The second truth, not only is life short, but the second truth is found in Matthew chapter 7. And I imagine you know where we're going with that. Matthew chapter 7. It's so important, if we're going to number our days, that we build upon something solid. Amen. That we build our life upon something solid. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, beginning at verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. We can build our house upon rock, or we can build our house upon sand. And how do we do that? Notice what Jesus said. Those that hear my sayings and doeth them. It's not just enough to hear, but also to do. It's sad that there are people that have been in church all their life, and they've heard hundreds, maybe thousands of Sunday school lessons, hundreds, maybe thousands of sermons, went in one ear and out the other. Or maybe they were done for just a few short days, but not continually, not long term. And then their life falls apart. Folks, it's not just enough to hear, but to do. Not just enough to hear, but to do. How much gospel are you hearing? And how much are you doing? Now, the sad thing is that some folks are in churches where the gospel is never preached. The Bible is seldom read. The Bible is ridiculed. They don't even hear. Or what they do hear is doubt and unbelief. And they can't do because they haven't heard. And you remember when Paul wrote to the Roman Christians, he says, we believe what we've heard for salvation. And then he asked the question, how can they hear without a preacher? Or how can they believe unless they hear? And how can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach if they haven't been sent? In other words, Paul says we have an opportunity and an obligation to spread the good news everywhere we can. And anytime we can, and we can go and we can give, we can send and we can be the one that is sent. I want to ask you, whose life are you affecting? Who's hearing about Jesus from you? And it's not just, it begins with salvation, but there are people that need a word of encouragement. You may not be able to give them right now and a real hug on the, or a real pat on the back because of social distancing. But at least you can give them a hug or a pat through a text or an email or some other way. And how blessed we are when somebody does that for us. Jesus says, you build upon a solid rock. You build upon a solid rock by what you do as well as what you hear. Go with me to another passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And Paul, writing to the Corinthians, talks about a foundation. For other foundation, verse 11, 1 Corinthians 3, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, folks, that's the starting point. The one solid foundation, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. We build our life upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And if we don't build our life on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to crash. Sooner or later, it's going to crash. Most desperately and terribly, it's going to crash when you step into eternity. And everything that so many have trusted in and believed in and hoped in and thought that they were going to be okay, they're going to miss it because they not built their life on Jesus Christ. You think of all the false religions in this world. And some of them have disciples that are out there beating the bushes, trying to bring their friends and neighbors into the darkness that they're in. And one day, because they've not built on Jesus, lost for all of eternity. Life is short. We need to build on a solid foundation. And then the third truth that we find in the same passage of Scripture is we need to be careful with the materials that we're using to build. Notice, we'll go back to verse 11 and then follow on. For other foundation can no man lay than it's laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Paul pictures two groups of people. Both of them are saved. Both of them are going to glory. Both of them are going to be in heaven. But one has built his life or her life upon a solid foundation of Jesus and has built with good materials, lasting materials, like those houses that I talked about that were built in the 15, 16, 7, 1800s. And others have built out of perishable materials like those tent camps of the homeless. And when the fires of life come, one shall last and one shall be destroyed. My understanding is that at one time in Rome, the free people imported multiple numbers of slaves to look after them and to cater their every need. And the free people lived in buildings that were made out of marble, granite. Some of those buildings, you know, you've seen pictures, maybe some of you have been there, the Roman Colosseum and some of those other buildings that have been there for 1,000 or 2,000 years. But those slaves lived in little houses, little shacks that were made out of straw, hay, and sticks. They weren't made out of real solid 2x4s and 2x8s and all of that. They were made out of sticks, firewood, and occasionally somebody would get careless and a whole section would just burn in a hurry because the wood, the straw, the hay could withstand the fire. But now the solid building stayed and are still there, some of them. And Paul probably had that in mind, that picture in mind of things he had seen, where the fire destroyed that which was not permanent, but left that which was permanent. What materials are you using to build your life? When he says gold, silver, and precious stones could be talking about gems like diamonds and rubies, but it could also mean, this verse, the word can also mean granite or marble, stone that would last, as contrast to the other. Some people build out of cheap materials. Their life's given to pleasure, making money, possessions, popularity, being the life of the party, ignoring the things of God, ridiculing the things of God. They build their life. I see some of the commercials on TV and I think, oh, you just don't understand. You just don't understand. They're trying to use that product to make you feel that that's real life. But that's going to be real disaster at a certain point. And then there are other folks who build their lives out of good, solid materials. Knowing the Word of God. Believing the Word of God. Following the Word of God. Trusting the Word of God. Honoring the Word of God. Putting Jesus first. Looking at the long term. Looking at the long term. And sadly, even though both groups were Christian, one group builds to last. One of the joys that I have as a pastor is to think back to my first church, and I've kept up with those folks. You know, they took me in when I didn't know anything about being a pastor, and they loved me anyway. And I've kept up with those, and there's some of those folks that they were solid 50 years ago and they're still solid. And then one of the sadnesses is you ask about a certain person and they say, oh, so they quit. They don't go. They got involved at the lake, the beach, the golf, the whatever, and they don't go anymore. Building their life on things that won't last. Now the question is not, are there going to be some storms or are there going to be some fires? Folks, if you live more than a few months, you know that there are. There are going to be pandemics. There are going to be bad medical reports. Our loved ones are going to die. People are going to lose their jobs. Plants are going to close. I think about the generations in Albemarle that worked in the textiles. Great-granddaddy worked there, granddaddy worked there, daddy worked there, they worked there, the kids that I went to school with. Now you ride by and those buildings are bulldozed down or sitting empty. Job losses. From time to time, even in America, there are laws against people that believe what the Bible teaches. There are times that we get betrayed by friends. Somebody that we thought was going to be a bosom buddy for life, and they stab us in the back. There are going to be the storms. There are going to be the trials. There are going to be the fires. The question is not, are they going to come? The question is, have we built upon a solid foundation? And have we built with solid materials that are going to last when they do come? Are we building wisely? Are we building wisely? There's a restaurant in Oklahoma that Pam and I have eaten at one time. It's built out over a big lake like Baden or Tillery, only that lake is bigger than either Baden or Tillery. And at flood stage, the dam is 600 feet. Well, the restaurant's built at 597 feet. And for years and years, Oklahoma was in a period of drought, and that restaurant was fine. Well, right before we moved back, there was a deluge of rain. All the lakes filled up, and that restaurant was under 3 feet of water. 3 feet of water came up into the restaurant. Of course, after the water went down, they spent thousands and many months getting back to operation and selling food again. But they did. But they didn't learn anything. They built back at 597 feet. And things were fine for several years. And lo and behold, since we've been here, there's been another period of flood, and they flooded again. Are we building wisely, or are we building foolishly? And let me ask one other question here. Parents, are your children seeing you build wisely? Are your children seeing you build wisely? I see sometimes that you have one family, and grandma and grandpa were pillars of the church. They couldn't open the doors without grandma and grandpa being there. And the next generation, somehow or another, got to be about three-quarter timers. And the next generation were once-in-a-whilers. And the next generation will probably die and go to hell. Parents, do your children see you build wisely? I was thinking this morning on the way to church about a situation in one of the churches where I was the pastor. Had a great youth group. Everything was clicking along wonderfully. All the youth that were coming through the youth group were getting saved at the appropriate time. I was baptizing them. And then there were three families that got bent out of shape. Now, it wasn't over something important like preaching heresy or teaching heresy or doctrine, something like that, or immorality in the youth group or misuse of the church funds. It was something over, it was not worth a hill of beans, but they got bent out of shape. And the interesting thing is, each of the families had two kids. And I had baptized each of the kids, the older kids, in each of the three families. But the families got bent out of shape just about the time the younger child in each family should have been coming to the Lord. And though that's been many, many years, as far as I know, those three younger kids, one in each family, never got saved. Never got saved. I never saw any reference to them being baptized. I never saw any, heard any reference to them being born again. Was it worth it to get bent out of shape over something that was of no importance? Parents, what do your children see you putting as importance in your life? Do they see you building your life on Jesus? Do they see you building your life on the things of God? Do they see you making Jesus the supreme Lord of your life? Do they look at your life and they say, I want to be like Dad, I want to be like Mom, and I want to love Jesus with all of my heart? I think about our daughter, Sarah. she was saved at such a young age. And she had a heart from God, for God, from just early childhood. And when she went to looking for a husband, she was looking for a man with a heart for God. We went out at the end of the school year to Oklahoma to pick her up, bring her home for the summer. And as we were loading her things in, one of her friends, girlfriends, said, "You've got to meet Sarah's boyfriend. He has such a heart for God." That boyfriend became her husband, and now they're missionaries in Australia. She was looking for somebody with a heart for God because she had a heart for God. Parents, are we bringing up our children to have a heart for God? You see, we're building our lives, and life is short. They must be built on a solid foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. They must be built with good materials. And we must build in such a way that our children want to build their lives in the same way. I don't know who will be back in church when we don't have to deal with the pandemic. I don't know. I suspect, and I look at certain people, certain families, and I know that they're solid. I look at others and I think, I pray that something's going on behind the scenes and that they're giving their heart to the Lord in such a way that though unseen now, it shall be seen when we back up and take a look at the big structure they've built with their life. Folks, let's build for eternity. Let's build for eternity. Let's build in such a way that when the storms of life, when the fires come, that which we build stands. And that brings glory and honor to the Lord. That brings glory and honor to the Lord. And that earns us a well done, good and faithful servant when we enter into the joy of the Lord. Father, as we bow before you, I pray that if there's any person listening to my voice that has built his or her life on anything other than Jesus Christ, that today that person will feel the tug of the Holy Spirit. That person will hear you're building on sand. And that person will confess Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior with a commitment. I believe that God raised him from the dead, that he died for my sin, and I affirm him, I choose him as my personal Lord and Savior. Father, I pray that if there's any of us listening, and I include myself, if we're building out of any inferior materials that will not stand the test of life, Lord, show us. Show us how to throw that inferior material into the scrap heap and reach over into the pile of the solid material and build our lives on something that's solid and with something that's solid. And Lord, I thank you that when the storms of life come, like the early disciples on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus is in the boat with us. And he can stand and say, "Peace, be still." And in the midst of the storm, there can be calmness and peace. And Father, I pray that if there's anybody listening today that's in a particular, specific storm that's battering them this way and that, that has turned to Jesus and allowed Jesus to bring peace to their heart in the midst of that storm. Lord, thank you that you love us and you care about us more than we can ever begin to imagine. Lord, thank you that you made it possible for us to build upon the rock. You gave us your word and you said, if you hear it and you do it, you'll build on something solid. Thank you, Father, for making that possible. Thank you for not just leaving us in our own misery and to figure it out on our own. You told us how to do it. Thank you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his countenance to shine upon you. Make his face to shine and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.